This is Halftime Adjustments on WPXI Now.
Welcome to Wednesday, hump day. Yeah, it's feeling like spring. I'm Albie Oxenrider, and welcome to Halftime Adjustments. Chris Carter pulled himself in from this beautiful spring slash summer weather to appear on this show, and I think he's there. Hi, Chris.
I'm right here, Albie. How you doing, my man?
I'm ready for after this. You know, we had two days where we were reminded not to complain about 65 or 62 or even 55. It went down to winter there for 2 days, but now we're back. And we're not only back to spring, we're back to summer. And yeah, we can start talking about the Steelers because summer is when things start to heat up with football. And, you know, a lot has happened, in this offseason, not a whole lot with the Steelers, but there have been some eyebrows raised a little bit by Steven Nelson and some comments that he made about Cam Sutton. Hey, listen, this is a guy that's feeling the pain after becoming what he calls a cap casualty. What is your take on Steven Nelson? You know, not just keeping quiet about it, but letting everybody know that he thinks he was the best corner on this team.
So for our viewers to catch up, you know, we know Steven Nelson was released by the Steelers. But our own Dale Lally at DKPittsburghSports.com wrote a story where he got a source that said the reason Steven Nelson, you know, was released is because he didn't want to compete with Cameron Sutton at outside cornerback. And he went to the and began the Steelers told Cameron Sutton that a condition of part of him signing was that he would be able to compete for that spot. And he wouldn't be competing with Joe Hayden. So Steven Nelson fired back. He talked to Dale a little bit. Dale wrote it up. There's a whole chronological thing on DKPittsburghSports.com where you can catch up here. But the bottom line is that Steven Nelson's side of this, he said, A, I was never asked to take a pay cut, and B, I was the best corner on the Steelers roster, so I wouldn't have been the person that Cameron Sutton replaced. But I don't care what anybody says. He was not the best cornerback on that roster. Joe Hayden has been the best cornerback the Steelers have had in a long time, and that's not slighting people like Ike Taylor. It's just the truth. And when you look at what consistently Joe Hayden was able to put in year in and year out, you know, Steven Nelson had a very great 2019 season. He had a solid 2020 season, but Joe Hayden is taking away the number one receiver every game, and he is the pin in the cornerback room that keeps it all together. And we saw in games where Joe Hayden didn't play, like against the Bills, where Steven Nelson wasn't able to take away a team's number one option and get chewed up a few times. You know, and listen, Albie, I don't think Pittsburgh should have any ill wills towards Steven Nelson. He fought his butt off while he was in the city. He helped solidify the Steelers secondary for 2 years and played really well. The bottom line is looking at this situation, he is looking at his contract, and he knows that at the end of this contract year, he has to hit free agency again. And if he's going to hit free agency, he absolutely has to be playing outside cornerback, because if the Steelers just gave Cameron Sutton his job at outside cornerback and bumped him to slot, the whole NFL would see him as a slot cornerback, and slot cornerbacks do not get paid huge money in the NFL. Go look at what Mike Hilton's making from the Bengals. It's not nearly as much as what Joe Hayden or Steven Nelson would have been making for the Steelers in 2021. It's just a fact. So I see this more as of a move to protect his future. This is the last big contract opportunity he'll have in his career at 28 years old. I don't have a problem with him doing this, but I do disagree with the notion that he was the best cornerback on the team. Granted, he's a competitor. He's supposed to feel that way.
Yeah, are you surprised though that he said that about a former teammate? And hey, listen, it's tough to leave a job sometimes, but you know, sometimes it's better just to keep your head up and keep your mouth quiet.
I'm not sure if I'm surprised. I think that Steven Nelson's always been a guy to challenge narratives against him. Like when the Steelers brought him in, he was the most targeted cornerback in the NFL. And a lot of people said, oh, this wasn't a good signing for the Steelers because blah, 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 blah. And he told me, well, then I'm going to prove you guys wrong. And he did. He proved that he was a legitimate starting cornerback in the NFL. Now, should he have fired back and sort of, brought Cameron Sutton into the mix there? Maybe not. But you know, at the end of the day, this guy is trying to make money in free agency. And I think he saw a threat of a narrative, because it's not what Dale wrote. Dale didn't, you know, say that he was running away from Cameron Sutton, but some people took it that way. And when he did that, he said, when he saw that people take it that way, he was like, whoa, wait a second. I need to clear the air and make sure that that's not people who people think I am. Otherwise, that's going to hurt my stock. So I get making the response, but I don't think I agree with you that he shouldn't have kind of gone after Cam Sutton in the little bit of ways he did. But again, I don't think this was egregious. I just think that it shows all the different angles that we don't know exist when we start talking about why someone got cut. Because remember, Alvy, on day one, the blame for Steven Nelson going was Juju Smith-Schuster, and it was his money, and that was the reason they had to get rid of him. And then we found out hours later that wasn't the case, and even now to this day there's people pushing that narrative. So I think that's the biggest takeaway here, is we just got to be patient and learn the background behind how some of these decisions come into play. And hey, I think this also says another thing: the Steelers really believe in Cameron Sutton as an outside cornerback for their future.
And one of the things that we're looking forward to, although there are a few things between now and then, it's the NFL draft. And you're starting to see chatter now. You're starting to see mock drafts. And as we get closer, it's pretty clear where the Steelers are right now. They've addressed their needs, and it's all about getting positioned for the draft now.
It absolutely is. That's what this is right now, is just, you know, continuing to evaluate talent. The Steelers have been on that for quite some time. They know who their targets are. They have their big board set up. It's going to be about what the other teams do. We're seeing a lot of teams trade into the top 10, Albie. That's because teams want to get some quarterbacks. And if the quarterbacks are going and the receivers are going and the offensive tackles are going, there's going to be some really interesting offensive linemen and running backs available for the Steelers when they pick at 24.
All right, we're back. We're going to be talking about the Pirates today, as well as the Penguins, with the trade deadline coming on fast. This is Halftime Adjustments. Albie and Chris, back after this. Welcome back to Halftime Adjustments. Chris and I are socially distanced because we are coming to you with the magic of Zoom.
Yes.
All right, the home opener's tomorrow for the Pirates, Chris, and it hasn't been a great start on the road for the Bucs. But talk about what you might see going forward with the home opener. There are some safety protocols in place, as you would imagine, and you know there will be fans, but it will be limited fans based on how they're able to achieve those protocols. What do you expect from all this? How do you think these new safety protocols will affect the fan experience as the Pirates come home to start their 2021 season?
Well, look, Alvy, the fan experience is what you're going to PNC Park for. You're going to enjoy the skyline view behind a baseball game. You're going to enjoy, you know, ballpark food and drinks and beer and you know, so the establishments in the ballpark. Everybody who goes to this stadium knows the Pirates are probably going to catch a big fat L. It's just what's happening right now. And I mean, we saw with these opening road series, they're just getting shellacked. And it was great that they snagged one in the first game of the season when they were able to say, okay, we got one win. But if they continue to play like this, Albie, that might be their only win in this whole month.
Yeah, and I think it's, you always want to have a good start to come home. I know a couple of years they've come home with decent records, and there's a little bit of a buzz. Hey, they started off the season well, you know. They went into this season with very low expectations. So anything that happens, I don't think it's going to necessarily surprise the fans. The fans, I think, even those most optimistic fans, are prepared for a rough season. So as you just said, you go to PNC Park, it's a nice spring, summer, night experience. You get to get down there with the family, even if you have to be socially distanced, even if there are fewer fans. It's the experience of seeing that skyline, of enjoying a spring or a summer night, and getting something to eat and watching the team. You're not necessarily going there to see the division champions of the future.
Right. And Albie, again, the reason why this aesthetic is so important right now is because people have been able to do this for over a year. With COVID-19, everything was shut down. Being able to attend sporting events at all is exciting right now. And that's why I get why people are excited for just be able to experience that. And listen, there's either the casual fans or the serious fans. The casual fans, you don't care if they win in the first place. If they lose, you're probably like, oh, shucks. And but you won and you spent some money on hanging out with your friends or your family and you had a good time out and the game wasn't that important to you. If you're a serious fan, you know what you're getting in for. And if there are people, serious fans who paid to go to the game, you knew what you were going to see, but you wanted to be able to experience just being in a ballpark, which is something that, again, we haven't been able to do unless you're covering the game. So I think anyone who goes to the game will know what they're in for. It'll still be an okay experience for them. They'll still be able to have fun and plan other things around it. But it's just the reality. We knew the Pirates had to tear things down. We knew that this time was coming. This is just the dog days that Pirates fans are going to have to suffer through. And as I said last week on the show, and as I will continue to say until we see different from the Pirates, I think Pirates fans, what you should get the joy out of this is look for the diamonds in the rough, the guys who might become part of the future and figure things out for you and be part of when they actually do become competitive again, even if that's 3, 4, 5, 6 years ahead of right now. But, you know, anybody who's watched the Pirates knows what the deal is. And I don't think there's any illusion for those who try to say that. And if you want to say, let's go Bucks, that's fine. You're a fan. That's what fans do. Even in the worst of times, you're still hoping that they find a way to pull out a good moment for you. And if you get a good moment out of this season, that's great. But the bottom line is they're probably going to end up with the first overall pick again next year.
Yeah, you know, you make an interesting point about, you know, it's all about just getting to see baseball again. If you consider that you, let's say you saw Pirates home game in September of 2019, that's 18 months ago.
Yeah.
Since you've been able to see your team. So that in itself, you know, and I'm not trying to make excuses for the Pirates, but again, expectations are low. Nobody expects them to win. Who cares if you get out and see a win? I think fans are resigned to just going down there, having a good time, and seeing them in person, mm-hmm. which is a big deal after 18 months.
Right. And again, this is not to say that the Pirates, you know, can't be made fun of for that being the fact that the only reason people are going is for the feeling of experiencing a baseball event. You know, that's you know, it's still like, dang, this is really rough to watch. But again, we knew this going in. This is no surprise. It's no new news when you bash the Pirates. And they're the whipping boys of Pittsburgh right now. But again, I think that for the people who want to find ways to enjoy the baseball experience, absolutely go do it. It's still fun. I mean, I have fun. I mean, heck, Albie, I grew up. I was born in 89, so. Well, by the time I was sports watching age, the Pirates were bad until like the early 2010s when you saw Andrew McCutchen and those guys start to come into their careers. So for most of my childhood and adolescence, the Pirates were horrible and they were getting the beat out of them all the time. But I still grew a love for the experience because I'm like, it's baseball, it's sports, it's the excitement of the things. It's if you get to see a great home run here and there, or you experience just being out with your family or your friends, that still has value. And I think that that's where Pirates fans are going to get the joy out of this year and probably next year and maybe even the year after that.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I'm not one of those people that thinks, you know, take your lumps this year and then the Pirates will be competing next year. I do expect. I do believe this is a different rebuilding process than we've seen in the past. They are restocking and, you know, it may take some time. I'm hoping that maybe by the middle of next season, the Pirates are showing signs that they can compete, but we'll have to wait and see. But in the meantime, get out there and enjoy the experience, as Chris mentioned. All right, back with the Penguins as the trade deadline approaches. This is Halftime Adjustments on WPXI Now. Welcome back to Halftime Adjustments. I think spring is here to stay. What's so funny, Chris?
You know what's funny.
I do. All right. I do think spring is here to stay. And spring also means hockey playoffs. It might go a little deeper into spring, into the summer this season. The Penguins certainly hope it does. It will one way or the other. The Penguins are hoping they're part of it deeper into the summer. But in the meantime, the trade deadline is approaching. And listen, we've seen a lot of good things out of this Penguins team. And they have shown that they can compete in this very difficult division. They have, however, had a couple difficult games in a row. They've given up 15 goals in two games. Tristan Jarry came back last night against the Rangers, and, well, he didn't make it through the entire game. That's all you need to know. What do you think with the deadline on Monday, Chris? I'm serious when I ask you what you think here. The deadline is Monday. What do the Penguins have to do, in your opinion? Will they make a move? And do you think that this is something that you know they have to do in order to compete and get deeper into the fall, into the playoffs?
It doesn't matter what I think, Albie, but it does matter if Ron Hextall and Brian Burke are going to pull the trigger. Because when you look at this team right now, I know that there are some Penguins fans who are a little panicky right now because, yeah, on Saturday, they got shellacked 7-5 by the Bruins, a team by who they looked confident beating just the Thursday before that. And then on Tuesday, they give up 8 goals in a shellacking to the Rangers. And those are two teams you cannot afford to lose to in their division. And, you know, I still think that, again, this is what we just talked about last week on this show, Albie. The Penguins have bought themselves capital to have some struggles in April. Right now, they're still up 4 points on the Bruins, 9 points on the Rangers, and 9 points on the Flyers. They've given themselves some space to, if they stumble here, that they're still in the mix. Imagine, Albie, if they had lost a lot, if they had lost, you know, maybe like 3 or 4 more games in March, if they hadn't gotten some of the points that they were able to get, they'd be in a much rougher position. Then they may be on the fringe of getting pushed out of the playoff picture. But as it stands right now, they still have that capital. Now, does this mean that maybe with these two losses, maybe this is what Ron Hextall and Brian Burke needed to say, hey, we do need to make a push at the trade deadline? Because, you know, if you looked at how March went, you think, you know what, this team's fine. Let them work. But of course, Malkin coming back and skating for the first time on Wednesday, that's huge for the Penguins. I feel like this team, they look like they can still compete. And I said this at the beginning of the season, before the season, as long as you still got that nucleus that you've been building these last few championship teams around with the star power that's here, you can build around them and keep adding pieces. And if you think that you got a chance to win the title, as it was looking like maybe you did, invest there.
I get the feeling that if, you know, sometimes you need to make trades in order to spark a team.
Yeah.
Maybe you're missing something that you want to add some ingredient to your roster. Listen, this is a team that we know can compete. They've competed all season, again, in this very difficult East Division. So I think sometimes the best move you make is the move you don't make. I'm a big believer in chemistry. As you know, I think chemistry to a team is sometimes more important than talent. Sometimes you get a athlete with lesser talent, and because he's able to fit in to dovetail with the other players on the roster, you actually get a better performance out of the entire team. I'm not suggesting that the Penguins should absolutely not make a move, but I think you have to think long and hard about this, because this is a team that's put itself in nice position. Listen, they may fall down to the fourth spot, but I think it's a reasonable bet that at this point, with only whatever it is, 16, 17 games remaining, that this team's going to make the playoffs. It's not a matter of making the playoffs. It's a matter of positioning now. Obviously, you want to continue because anything can happen. You want to continue what they've done. But they've proven they can win in this division with this tough division schedule. So maybe you're best not to make that major move that would disrupt the chemistry and roll the dice that you think you have a team that can compete not only in this division in the regular season, but into the playoffs.
I think that's something to definitely consider. But who knows, Albie, maybe sometimes the addition of a player creates a chemistry that, you know, the chemistry that you're looking for. And so, but I agree with your sentiment here in that the Penguins need to don't look at just like, hey, we're just going to add some guy who scores a lot of goals, or hey, we're just going to add this guy who hits people really well at the blue line. You want to get a guy who fits into a role that will help be the glue to the Penguins' current nucleus. You're not looking for a new star to change the entire lineup. You're looking for someone who can, you know, give you some important minutes on the ice and say, hey, that shift that you gave was really good. It re-energized the team, or it gave the main lines that we are the main guys that we need on the ice, gave them their break and made them, you know, have more energy when they come back out there. So yeah, Albie, I'm right with you. If they make a trade at the deadline, it needs to be, you know, for a player who they really think fits in with the team. But it's going to be interesting to see what Ron Hextall and Brian Burke think is that addition, because this is going to be their first real big moves of their tenure with the Penguins, considering they took over mid-season. So this could be great for the Penguins. It could be disastrous, but ultimately this is going to be a huge part of how people look at their time managing this team.
Yeah, and I also think it's interesting, you know, that the trade deadline is so the end of the regular season is not very long after the trade deadline. So whatever you do, if you want to create chemistry, or if you want to maintain chemistry, or if you want to address a need, whatever it is, you're going to have to see, you're not going to have much time to let this thing play out because the playoffs start. And then it becomes an issue of, you know, do you want to play the Capitals? Do you want to play the Islanders in that first round? I mean, what team do you think you match up against best? We'll talk about that at another time, because our time is running out here on Halftime Adjustments. We're back with our final thoughts. It's Chris and Albie on WPXI Now. Welcome back to our final moments here on Halftime Adjustments. And Chris, I want to leave you with the Baylor win over Gonzaga. And this is not a criticism of Gonzaga, because I think Gonzaga had a great season and they are, in fact, a great team. They played a very solid schedule. However, I think when you face teams like they faced, especially the last two games against UCLA, the game that they won with the big three, you know, the mega three pointer, and then the final game. You know, sometimes when you get pro guards against you, you can't do what they've done all season long. In the end, they were a West Coast Conference team, and they were beaten by a better team in Baylor. I didn't know if Gonzaga would lose. They not only lost, but I think they lost to a better team.
Yeah, they definitely lost to a better team. And I said this at the beginning of the tournament, Baylor was my team to win it for, you know, in the majority of my pools. I thought their athleticism, their length, their ability to shoot from outside, and their defense was going to challenge Gonzaga. You know, Gonzaga can beat teams that don't have that supreme talent and that supreme effort. Baylor brought both, and I thought it was going to be close, but they blew them out.
All right. Thank you. Congrats to Gonzaga. Great season, but Baylor's the champ. I'm Albie Oxenreiner for Chris Carter. We'll see you next time right here on Halftime Adjustments.